Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett. Thanks for listening. Today on the show, we have Blueberry team member Sean Thorpe.
Hi there.
Hello. Nice to hear from you again. I just saw you.
Yeah, I know. It's been so long since we've talked, Mackenzie.
I know. So on this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. And on this episode, we're just going to recap podcast movement. We're not going to bring in any news clips or anything like that. Just us talking.
Yep.
It is August 29th, and I'm going to get this episode out today because it's already a day late because, let's be honest, trying to record yesterday would have been a little too insane while the three of us or the four of us were trying to catch up from podcast movement.
Yeah, that apparently, and this is the first one of these conferences that I've attended ever in my life, not just as a member of the Blueberry team, but just in general. Mm-hmm. But I spent on Sunday somewhere in the vicinity of, I want to say 5 to 6 hours, just kind of getting caught up on all my email and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know everybody is still trying to get caught up, so it's just something you got to deal with when you're out of the routine for, in your case, it was what, six days?
Yeah, I got to Anaheim Monday around noon on the 21st or whatever that day was. And then I got home midnight on Saturday. So I had good intentions for Sunday to go through my emails and go through the ones that I don't actually have to do anything. It's just,
I think it's okay if you get in on midnight on Saturday to maybe take a day off on Sunday. But
yeah,
I don't know. I might be strange and old-fashioned in this regard. I was fortunate in that out of everyone on the team, I had the shortest distance to travel. So I left Anaheim Saturday morning. I was home Saturday afternoon. I kind of took Saturday off and just said, okay, I'm going to try to rest and recover and see how I feel on Sunday. And I felt pretty good, so I could start digging in on Sunday. But I wouldn't feel bad for anyone that decided to take an extra day after all that time, because it's a lot.
Yeah, my good intentions were squashed by simply me just not waking up on Sunday.
Yeah. Sleep deficits are real.
That's basically what happened. I just, you know, was not able to go to sleep because, you know, I'm 3 hours off at that point. And then it's just, okay, my body needed to recover on Sunday. So that's what happened. And here we are now on Tuesday, the 29th. After podcast movement last week. So let's give them a rundown of how last week went. So the event technically started in terms of exhibiting and booths and tables and whatnot on Wednesday morning.
Right.
However, there was a heck of a lot involved before all of that started. There's, I guess, a cold open on Tuesday, like starting Tuesday morning, of sessions that people can go to that I don't think you have to have a ticket for, and you know, it's not considered part of the normal schedule. So I did not go to any of those. That was definitely a setup day for Blueberry for the exhibit area. So I kind of want to know if anyone actually, of who goes to those, if they think it's worth it, if they enjoy what they're providing in terms of the content.
You know, that is a good question because of the fact that I did not get in until, you know, kind of the end of Tuesday afternoon. I pretty much missed everything that happened on Tuesday, whether that involved what you guys did in terms of, you know, having to set up the booth or just any of the stuff going on at the convention. It's my understanding that they do what I believe is called PMX on Tuesdays, and it's this sort of TED style presentations, and they kind of present it like a competition, and someone is given an award at the end. Unfortunately, I'm not sure what the details were on that this year.
I think someone won for like a pitch for a podcast. I could be completely wrong on that.
Yeah.
Okay, that happens on Tuesday. And then Wednesday is when all of the sessions start. That's when they have the opening keynote. This is when everyone comes into the exhibit hall to see what all of the tables are about, see what is available. So that's what we were doing that day.
Yeah. And really, for me, I didn't attend any of the keynotes or any of the panels or anything. Most of my time was really just focused on you know, being on the floor, being in the booth. And it was an interesting experience for me on so many levels. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot just from the difference in the way that I normally interact with Blueberry customers is through email.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, here they were coming at me in some cases left and right.
Yes.
Depending on how busy it was. And I'm a bit of an introvert, and I think I have some probably unofficially diagnosed anxiety and social anxiety issues. So I was a bit nervous at the beginning, but once it got rolling and I got talking to people, I was like, oh yeah, I actually do know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So once it kicked in and I got a little more confident, a little more comfortable, I was like, okay, well, I can talk to people. And of course, for the majority of the time we were there, our policy was to always have at least two people in the booth. So
yeah.
If there was ever a point where someone came up to me and I didn't know the answer to the question, there was a pretty good chance that either you or Mike or Todd could. So
exactly.
That, you know, that always helps when you've got someone else to fall back on. And it's really hard to predict when you might get a surge of people to come through, and it kind of has these quiet periods and then you get more traffic and stuff like that. Certainly obvious things like during the noon hour, which is kind of the official podcast movement lunch break, there's no sessions going on. So people are, they're not eating. They're just kind of wandering around the conference. And that's a good time for them to come into the, does that room we were in, do you know if it had an official name? Because we've been referring to it as like the vendor hall or the show floor. I don't really know if it,
I have no idea. I know all of the other ones where sessions were had names up at the top because I would pay attention. But I just knew that as the big room where everything was.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might have a name.
The Podcast Movement Pavilion of Fun and Excitement. We'll refer to it as that going forward, I think.
Okay. That's a good name for it.
So when you're in the Pavilion of Fun and Excitement, you can walk around and you can see all the different booths, including ours. Mm-hmm. And there were, I don't know exactly how many people or companies were there exhibiting. I'm going to say there was maybe around 30. Do you think that number's too low?
You're asking the wrong person. In reality, okay. I should know this because, you know, this is a big part of what I focus on. However, I suck at estimating things like that.
Okay.
So I don't know. It felt like less than last year, but I also think that is probably just attributed to the fact that we were in a much larger space than we had been ever before, because that was my third podcast movement that I'd gone to. And in Chicago and Fort Worth, we were still in a hotel, but we were in the hallways.
Right,
we weren't in an
that.
Actual room, so everything was a little more pushed together in that sense. There were no aisles, there were no hallways, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So I think they probably had the same amount, but it just looked like, you know, it just kind of threw me off at first.
Well, I was definitely surprised to see some of the companies were there, and I don't know who was there in the past. I mean, obviously, you know, Blueberry was there, Libsyn was there, Spreaker was there. Those seem obvious.
Yep.
But WordPress.com was there, which I didn't entirely expect. We were right next to HostGator, and you know, a lot of people put podcast websites on HostGator and use the PowerPress plugin to generate their feeds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to see these kind of podcast adjacent services there, and
yeah,
you know, there were a few of the microphone and audio equipment manufacturers, which is such an obvious choice to be there, but for some reason I kind of felt like I just felt like from their perspective, though this is changing, but from their perspective they would kind of see podcasting is not a big enough market yet for them to want to invest booth time and expense, but apparently it is, and that's a really good thing. And of course we've seen an uptick over the last year or so of more of these manufacturers coming out with, you know, podcast specific products, which is
that are specifically for just recording your voice type of thing. You know, it's not musicians going for it. It's I guess, normal people.
Right. I mean, sense. You know, you if you go to something like the NAMM show or something like that, and of course all these manufacturers are going to be there because that's very focused on their industry. But it's nice to see them, you know, acknowledging podcasting that, hey, this is a market that we want to engage and let people know that we're here and we have tools they can use. Outside of that, kind of surprised by some of the other vendors there. And there were different smaller companies that were pitching, you know, services to podcasters as far as production and advertising and stuff like that. There was even a booth there from a service called Book Launchers. Their primary service is to help independent authors launch books. And I went over and spoke with them for a little while. And I said, well, I'll admit I'm kind of surprised to see you here at a podcast conference.
Right.
It doesn't seem like it would quite be in the niche you're operating in. And they told me that they'd already signed up, I think, 5 or 6 clients. So apparently I'm wrong.
Apparently it works.
Yeah.
I know that you said you didn't go to any of the sessions or keynotes or anything, but overall, what did you like about the conference?
Well, the absolute number one thing, without question, is that I got to meet so many people I've only known through the internet that I've either worked with or just followed or listened to their podcast or been a fan of, in some cases, for 10 or more years.
That's true.
It was just so nice to finally go to people, even like Rob Walsh, and just go up and shake his hand. I mean, I listened to all of the podcast 411 episodes that he produced. I mean, I've listened to all of them, but the ones that still resonate with me the most, you know, deep in my heart are the early ones back from, you know, around 2005. And of course, I've been following Todd Cochran through all the various social media and message boards and email lists that podcasting has inhabited over the years for a long time. And he doesn't like to say that he's a boss, but in this simple capacity, he is my boss here.
Yeah.
And of course, I got to meet you and Mike Dell, and that was great. And Mackenzie, you joined Blueberry just a little while after I did.
Yeah, probably like a couple of weeks, a month or so.
Yeah, it was definitely within a month after I did. So, you know, we're both kind of from a certain perspective, we're both still kind of the new people, but you're the veteran now. You've done a bunch of these, and this is my first one.
In terms of events, yes. I feel like I have my fill.
Yes. You've represented the company at many of these.
Yes.
So I was, you know, really grateful for that opportunity, and I just got to meet. I kind of had a mental list in my mind of everybody that I just had to, you know, say hello to and shake their hand and just kind of say, hey, you know, I've known you digitally, online, or however you want to refer to it for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we're finally just existing in the same space in reality. And one of the things that is amusing to me is there were a number of people who said to me, this is really the first time we've met. So I guess that's a testament to just how much time I've spent online talking about podcasting stuff, that there were people that thought that they were certain that we'd already met somewhere.
Exactly. It's come to that point where it seems strange that you haven't met someone that's been involved for so long.
That was the A number one thing. And then after that, it was just very cool to be in this space where there were all these people around who were actively interested in or doing what I love, which is podcasting or talking about podcasting or what have you. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great feeling for me to be able to help people, you know, in any way that I can, especially with relating to podcasting. But one of the things that was interesting to me is that based on the location of our booth, we had a lot of people who kind of came to us first.
Yep.
And occasionally I would get people who would come up out of a session or they were clearly at their first podcast movement. They were clearly learning about this stuff for the first time, and they would come up to the booth and go, "Oh, Blueberry, you know, I've heard of you. What do you do?" And yep. I would kind of give them the pitch, and then they would start to ask a whole ream of follow-up questions that may or may not have anything to do with Blueberry or Blueberry services. They were just new and, not surprisingly, had a lot of questions, and I was very happy in all those instances to be able to help them. Hopefully they left our booth feeling a little less confused.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hope so as well.
Yeah.
You see that happen a lot with new people that are happy to ask questions to anyone about anything. Because they're like, well, I don't know the answer. You work in podcasting, so you might know the answer. So I'm just going to ask you anyway.
When I look back on my own history in podcasting, I realized that in a way I was fortunate to kind of be able to grow up with the medium in the sense that I watched the tools and kind of the techniques, I guess, that we rely on now kind of mature and come into their own. Mm-hmm. And I have the ability, because I remember how difficult and hard it was in the first few years.
Yes.
You know, I kind of have the ability to relate to that, but also as someone who's been doing this for a while and could be in danger of getting stuck in certain, boy, what's the term I want to use here? Dogmatic thinking, I guess. Mm-hmm. When I see someone come into this with fresh eyes, and I kind of hear what their experience is and what their stumbling points are in terms of what they're trying to understand, it gives me an opportunity to kind of step back and go, okay, is there a way that I can explain this better, or is there a way that I can advise someone that is more appropriate to their situation? Because in podcasting, unlike a lot of other mediums that have been born of the internet, mm-hmm. podcasting has so many options for doing it, which for the most part I love. You know, I mean, obviously, and I said this during the show, everybody that came to the booth, like, I'd love for everybody who walks through this door that needs a podcasting host or is considering changing hosts to come to Blueberry. But, you know, in the end, we want everybody to get the right, you know, the tools that are right for them. And we're fortunate to have so many options. And the thing that always immediately comes to mind is, when I think about online video, it's pretty much, you know, YouTube's game. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to podcasting, there's a lot of options out there. And I think for some people, you know, that can be overwhelming and it can be discouraging because it's not 2005 anymore. And we are in kind of a post-app/post-platform world. And podcasting does at some level have apps and platforms. I mean, Blueberry is certainly a platform you can use to produce a podcast, but people have become so used to that kind of YouTube-ish experience where, oh, well, I need to do this one thing. I just go over here. And despite certain PR efforts to the contrary, SoundCloud hasn't really become the YouTube of podcasting.
No, it has not.
And, speaking of themes from podcast movement, we definitely encountered a number of people who came up to the booth and kind of, you know, averted their eyes and looked to the floor and said, well, I'm currently a SoundCloud user.
Yes, there was a lot of embarrassment surrounding that.
Yeah. If you are a SoundCloud user and you're concerned about anything over there, just get in touch with us and we can certainly let you know what Blueberry has to offer. And we did a lot of that during the conference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think after that, so it was just being there. And, you know, I feel like I'm kind of repeating myself with certain themes, but just kind of being in that environment, having all this podcast stuff going on around me. And I think the last thing I'll say with regard to that is everyone that I encountered was nice and polite and cordial. And if there's one thing that I am still so amazed by with regard to podcasting that I think hasn't gone away from its earliest days is there's still a lot of just cooperation and kindness. At the end of the day, to use that horrible cliche term, we're all kind of trying to achieve the same things. Mm-hmm. And we get that even if we happen to be you know, competing companies. It wasn't like some other podcasting company was, you know, trying to strong arm people away from us, or we were doing that to them. Yeah. Or some other weird thing. You know, it's not like people, as far as I know. I mean, I as I said, I didn't make it to any of the sessions or the panels or anything, but I'm pretty sure nobody was completely bashing anybody else. I mean, we all kind of tongue in cheek, we like to bash SoundCloud a little bit, but to a certain degree, they kind of deserve it. And to a certain degree, well, I mean, it's just, you look at a lot of the problems they've had, and, you know, anybody who's listening to this show, I'm sure, is familiar with that. We don't really need to recap it. No. But if they were there at a conference like Podcast Movement, and they were there, you know, representing themselves and engaging in the community at large, we might feel a little differently about them. But we didn't see them. We didn't see any representatives from them at the conference. So
you were talking about how we're competitors with Libsyn and all these other companies out there. And there was one point last week where I was talking to Rob Walsh, and I think it was just the two of us, and someone walked over to talk to him, and I just walked away. And I later on met that woman as well and introduced myself and told her that I worked for Blueberry. And she immediately looked at me with this confused and funny look on her face, like, well, when I saw you earlier, you were talking to Rob. And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, these two companies have been involved in this since day one. Just because we're competitors doesn't mean that we're out to get each other. We have the same interests at heart, because, yes, we're competing against each other, but we're also trying to make things happen in a positive way. And we typically, you know, have the same thoughts and views on what those types of positive things are.
So, well, and I think for those two companies in particular, the end game is the same, which is we want to give podcasters the tools to publish their shows and to feel like they're empowered in that regard. And, you know, anyone who works for either company would tell you that we have customers that leave Blueberry and go to Libsyn, and they would tell you that they have customers that leave Libsyn, come to Blueberry for a variety of reasons.
Absolutely.
But no, we don't goad each other about it. It's just part of the business. And, and you know, we all just go on doing the business of what we do.
Yeah.
And I don't know about how other trade conferences work, for lack of a better term. And maybe they're all kind of the same in that way. Maybe if you go to, I mentioned NAMM earlier, maybe if you go to NAMM, the people from Fender and the people from Gibson are, you know, as friendly to each other as, say, we are with the people from Libsyn. I have no idea. I kind of feel like that's probably not true, but you never know. Another example of that was, I kind of turned in early, but I believe Tuesday night they had kind of a pre-Podcast Movement mixer in one of the big ballrooms. And I was standing in line with a friend of mine, someone, again, who I've known for 10 years, and we were talking to other podcasters, and I was just kind of hanging out with her because we met up before this thing was going to start. She wanted to go to it, and it took a while to kind of figure out where the heck things were happening.
Yes.
So I was just standing with her in line, and, you know, I said, when we got to the door, I said, okay, well, I'm calling it a night. And as I was walking back, our Todd was in line. And he kind of flagged me down, and I went over, and he was standing right next to Rob Walsh. You know, they were in line together, and they were talking, and it wasn't, you know, they weren't at, you know, each other's throats or anything. They were just talking and kind of having a conversation, and they were just standing there as friends. And it wasn't a big deal. So I really appreciate that, despite podcasting being around as a medium for this long, and the fact that we do have a bigger industry now and more players and all this kind of stuff, at a certain level, for at least some of us, there's still kind of an old, you know, an old school vibe of, you know, we're all in this together.
Right. Because part of the key to getting the community larger.
And, yeah, you know, absolutely.
I did not get to as many sessions that I had wanted to. Last year, I did not get to any, and I was not super psyched about that, to be honest, because I think a big part of Podcast Movement is learning and just because I'm coming from a company doesn't mean that I shouldn't necessarily be learning what the attendees are as well, especially because from I see it the point of view of, you know, these people are listening to what these speakers have to say, which means they are coming to us with certain expectations and understandings. And I think it's better for us to, in some sense, have a preview of what that will be so that we know, you know, we know what to prepare for in that sense.
Sure.
So I wanted to get to some. I got to, I think, one or two, but I was going to attend Todd's social media one, his proven strategies with social media. However, yeah. I got in there, took a picture of the fact that people were standing and sitting on the floor and all the seats were taken. And this was, you know, keep in mind, a couple minutes before it even started, and then decided I'll just leave. I have access to this information. I don't need to learn this. I don't need to take up space because people were literally opening the door. Yeah.
There was actually one other one, just real quickly I'll mention, that I did step into for a few minutes, and I kind of got in there late, and it was not 100% full, but it was pretty close to standing room only. And because what you do a lot of times in a booth at a conference is you stand, I really wanted to sit down.
Yes.
And I just kind of went, okay, well, this is probably really interesting information, but I'll grab it off the virtual ticket. And
exactly.
Because the other thing is I was tired mentally, and the presenter in the particular panel was giving out a lot of, you know, data and statistics and stuff. And I wasn't processing any of it. And I went, now, you know what, if I'm standing here taking up space from somebody else that actually can use this information right now, I'm just going to go back to the booth, which is a better use of my time. But speaking real quickly about Todd's presentation, the social media one, you know, it's funny. When I was going through the Podcast Movement app and I was favoriting sessions I thought I might want to go to, I completely skipped over that one because I did not expect to see a presentation with that title being presented by Todd, because Todd is kind of the anti-marketing guy.
Oh,
but I think in a lot of ways at a conference like Podcast Movement, when I see social media, I think, okay,
some fancy, you know, from start to finish launch type of thing. This will work for you.
Yeah, and I'm too much of a skeptic. I'm too much of a cynic about all this stuff to think that you can really in 2017 that you can really truly build an audience out by pushing hard on social media. It's at such a saturation point. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just my opinion right now. So I didn't even realize that was Todd's presentation, but apparently it went over quite well and he got a lot of positive reviews in the Podcast Movement app. So
Good. That's
great. And for anyone that's interested that didn't see it, he says that he's going to present it at some point online in the future, and it may be even longer than what he did at Podcast Movement last week.
I think he said he's going to bring in some more detail and do that probably within the next couple weeks. So
yeah.
For those of you that were not able to catch that session with Todd, be on the lookout on our Twitter feeds and on Todd's Twitter feeds, because he was talking about social media, so I'm sure he's going to promote it there.
Yeah, that would seem logical.
It would.
And just a quick reminder for anybody that's listening to this that was a Podcast Movement, if you have a virtual ticket, and I'm not sure, I want to say that if you had a paid ticket to the event, you get access to the virtual ticket, although you can buy the virtual ticket on its own. They're supposed to post recordings of everything that happened there, and that's kind of another reason why I went, you know, I'm just going to focus on being where people are, and if I get a chance to duck into a session, that'll be great. Because that's a piece of advice that I've heard a number of times in the past from a number of people. You know, they say, yeah, the sessions are great, but the best stuff always happens when it's, you know, just in the hallways or in the conference hall or really outside kind of the main, you know, the main events or the main activities or whatever. And I feel like that was definitely true for me. And here's an unofficial tip from a first-time attendee to something like this. if you really want to get the podcasting scoop, the dirt on what happens in the industry, hang out in the bar.
Yes.
After everything's closed, uh-huh. Everybody's had a few drinks in them, you'll hear a lot of interesting talk. And I'm going to leave it right there.
Yeah, Todd and I, Friday morning at the booth, we were like, okay, so we talked about a lot of things. Maybe we should check Twitter and see if other people heard those things.
Yeah, you and Todd, to your credit, you spent a lot more time in the bar than I did. I didn't really make it down there until the last night. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, again, you know, just how kind of special the experience was for me to be at this thing. I actually had a couple of drinks, which is rare. I never drink, but I was in a good mood, and all I had to do the next day was get on a train. So if, you know, the alcohol didn't sit with me well in the morning, it wouldn't have been, I just would have had to sit on the train.
Yes,
so
exactly.
That's where you want to be if you want to get the real interesting stuff. And you just got to have the constitution to kind of, you know, put in a late night or two, and then you might hear some interesting stuff.
Definitely. You have to prepare in that sense, knowing that this going to a conference like this is so much more than just going to the sessions at 10 a.m. and stopping by a booth and grabbing lunch. It's so much more than that. It's, you know, it amazes me how easily I'll want to go to a session and duck out, and then I get caught up in a conversation with a potential customer or a potential partner or something like that, and then it's just, okay, I didn't need that information. Obviously, it was not the correct time for me to go to that area because I was working on something else, essentially, or something like that, because I even see regular, you know, podcaster attendees do the same thing where they would prefer to just network and meet the people and pitch something or figure out a partnership or just learn face-to-face with people in that sense instead of being in the session or workshop or classroom type setting. And a lot of the time I think it could possibly be because they know that they're going to have the virtual ticket afterwards and that they can get that information later, as opposed to you are in this room with these people right now.
Yeah, it's a nice option. I mean, you can, I'm sure, get something out of being at the sessions live that maybe going back on the virtual ticket you won't get, but having the option to fall back on is really nice in case, you know, you get pulled in some other direction. And you know, I'm really grateful that I got to do this, you know, for the first time being part of the Blueberry team. Because I think, let's say I've been with Blueberry since 2015. Let's say that I'd managed to make it to any podcasting conference. I think the first Podcast Movement was 2014.
I think it was in 14.
Yeah. So, you know, if I had managed to make it there, I wouldn't have had that kind of immediate recognition. You know, people would look at my lanyard, my badge, and kind of go, oh, you're with Blueberry. You know, I know what that is. And I don't necessarily have, though I have been podcasting for a long time, I don't necessarily have a lot of name recognition with the shows I've made, and that's fine. But it definitely made it easier for me to just kind of get into those conversations, and people kind of realized who I was and what I was doing there. And it made it easier for me. And I think where I'm trying to get to the takeaway on this is I do understand from that other perspective, if you were brand new to podcasting and you didn't know anyone, then in those instances, going to the sessions and the panels and all that would probably be a better place to start, because you'll get some of that information and you may not be coming, you know, immediately showing up with all these kind of built-in possibilities from, you know, being able to meet people and network and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I definitely see it from both perspectives, but I am glad that I got to do this from the booth side. It definitely has given me a whole other perspective on, you know, this whole thing, not just conferences, but podcasting in general and getting to talk to people and kind of finding out where they're at and what their needs are and what kind of issues they're having. And then in turn, you know, we as Blueberry, we can take that company and try to apply that into things we do to try to, you know, solve more problems and lessen the pain points for people.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking on figuring out what people's pain points and whatnot are, Todd and I think maybe Rob Greenlee as well touched on this. There were less people there that were completely oblivious to how podcasting works.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a weird phrase to say because it's called Podcast Movement. However, in the past, we have had many, many people come up to us at a table and say, okay, we don't know what podcast hosting is. We don't really even understand how podcasting works. And this could be people that want to have a podcast. This could be people that are in charge of figuring out information for their company on how they're going to handle their podcast. And they come to us and they don't know, you know, what the show's going to be about. They don't know what exactly they need. They're getting all of the information in general. And there was significantly less of that this year. There was a lot of cutting out the conversation of we could essentially get to the point of what we do as opposed to explaining. It was not necessarily explaining what we do, but how we can help them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of both what do we do and how does this affect you and why should you care? So that was refreshing.
Mm-hmm. I suspect that maybe we have reached a point in just overall information availability where people are at least able to just come into a conference like that and at least have some idea of how this thing works. Because podcasting, thinking again about comparing it to something like YouTube,
mm-hmm.
podcasting has a lot of moving parts.
Yes, it does. And there's so much involved with it.
That you can get, say, with YouTube. And that doesn't matter how you are choosing or what tools you are using to produce a podcast. There's still going to be, you know, at minimum 4 or 5 steps involved before your episode's going to be available. And it's going to go to all the syndication points. And because podcasting is so spread out in this way, even if some monolithic tech company came in and decided they were going to be a podcast host,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't matter who they were because people are still going to want to get their shows on all of the different platforms where people consume podcasts, and that is not going to change. So it definitely helps when people have some kind of basic understanding of, you know, you create your media file, you upload it, and then you have your RSS feed, however you choose to publish that, and then you're going to have at least some basic kind of web presence, whether it's your own .com or you're going to use, something like a Blueberry PowerPress site or whatever the case is,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's going to be there. And you have all those things, but the good thing that we are so far now into the industry as a whole, that we do have these kind of robust tools. So it isn't like it was when I started, where it was kind of holding everything together with duct tape and kind of praying that this was going to still work tomorrow.
Out, yeah.
You know? So that's a big improvement. And I'm grateful for that. And it definitely, I think, makes it easier for people to come into it and already have some clues or some ideas of, oh, this is how this actually works. So I understand how this works. You're a media hosting company. Tell me more exactly about what you do and what you have to offer, as opposed to, what's a media host?
I don't want to answer that. At least or to some people.
Certainly when it comes to podcasting, there's not necessarily one right way. And depending on who you ask, you'll hear opinions on what they might feel their right way is. But it doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. And we can all still do it and publish shows and be okay.
Mm-hmm. In the closing keynote, they announced that Terry Gross is going to be one of the keynotes for 2018.
Nice.
Yeah, Terry Gross from NPR's Fresh Air. I'm a big fan of her, so that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I think that'll probably bring a whole new batch of people out to see mm-hmm. what this whole thing is about.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. Actually, they opened registration for tickets like the day while we were still at Podcast Movement.
Yeah,
so if you are super, super interested and want to get, you know, like the cheapest ticket you're going to be able to get, really, because they're only going to go up from here, I believe you can still register now. Yeah, that's just, you know, good to go for Philadelphia in July. Yeah, July of 2018.
Okay.
So.
That sounds all right.
Yeah, like 11 months out or whatever. So.
Yeah, it's not even a year. I think that they've, have they all been in August or have some of them been in July?
No.
I feel like they've been kind of around that area.
Actually, I was talking to Gary Leland about that. They're not necessarily choosing the weekend. They're typically choosing the venue that they think would work the best. And then figuring out the best weekend that they could do that is available. So.
Well, I will give the organizers, Jared Easley and Dan Franks are really the ones I think that do a lot of the heavy lifting as far as, you know, getting this thing to, set up and started. And I will give them some credit in moving, you know, the conference around. The first 2 years it was in Texas, and then Chicago this year, Anaheim next year, Philadelphia, kind of makes it easier for people who are in different parts of the country to show up. So like my case is a good example for me, super easy to get there next year, provided I make it to the one next year, opposite experience.
Yeah, exactly.
it'll be easier for you and Mike to get there, but it's going to take a lot longer for me to get there, but, that's all right. You know, it's just part of how it works.
Yeah. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
So that everyone can have those options. So.
Yeah.
I don't know what my favorite thing was for Podcast Movement this year, but I'm leaning towards actually getting those good conversations from new potential customers and partners. I typically end up trying to go a little incognito for a while and going to all the booths, and I just throw off my badge. And if someone doesn't ask me who I am, I'm not going to tell them typically. So I just try to go to all these booths. It's like a fresh set of eyes for some of them and try to understand what they do. And then for some, it's, hey, how can we work together type of thing. So I think that's one of my favorite parts is actually getting involved in those conversations about things we can do in the future.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I remember that there were a few times where, you know, somebody would come up to the booth and, you know, there'd be, you know, three or four of us there, and somebody would come up and they would have a very, you know, specific thing that they wanted information on that, you know, through most other times that they would maybe just get through email or, you know, a call or whatever.
Yeah.
And you were able to just kind of go off and have a sidebar with them.
Yeah.
At they had a lounge area kind of right in the middle of the floor space there. You know, you could just go over there and sit with somebody and talk for a while. And that kind of thing is really cool. And, you know, those opportunities really only happen in that type of environment.
Yep. That is what you get out of actually attending these events. One of the people that I ran off to talk to at some point was someone that had been on the show before. And, you know, it was great that we actually got to meet in person, but we wanted to talk about how we could, you know, change what we were doing and working together in the future. And that's so preferable in person than over email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's always nice to just be able to have a conversation with someone in reality, and you can just sit there and talk. And it, you know, email is great, but sometimes certain aspects of just the human experience are not there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's a good point too. The human experience. I think it was Thursday night before the luau. We were, I guess, the area for the vendors and speakers happy hour session that they had or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got my drink and I talked to a few people, and then I just walked away for a little bit.
Oh.
I went outside to go sit on a bench and just kind of take a breather for a minute. And then I found the luau, which was outside.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was take a minute.
Yeah.
Recompose yourself and say, okay, this is, you know, this is who I've talked to. This is what we're doing later. It was just kind of nice to get some fresh air. I was like, we're in California. I don't get to go to California very often. I want to go outside and just enjoy some 10 minutes of breeze.
So. Sure. Well, you know, I think it's really important with these types of things where you're sort of being constantly bombarded with various kinds of, you know, stimulation, talking to people, having people constantly come up to you. You know, it's one thing to be physically tired, but you can definitely reach a level of mental and potentially emotional exhaustion as well. And I'm a big fan of self-care. You know, I think it was Wednesday that, you know, my first full day ever doing one of these ever. And, you know, in some ways it is kind of like being thrown to the wolves, albeit in a pleasant way. But for me, it was a lot to kind of process at once. And Wednesday night, I just, you know, it was around, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock or something. I just said, you know what, I'm ducking out of here. And I just went for a walk, you know, around a couple blocks around the area where we were, and just appreciated the SoCal evening air. And called my wife on the phone for a little bit and kind of got caught up with her and seeing what she was doing. And, you know, that was nice. And then I was able to just kind of go back to my room and be done for the day. And it was fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there were all those other things you mentioned, the kind of happy hour mixer they did, where they actually set it up in the vendor hall. And it was in a weird way, it was kind of a strange place to do kind of a social thing as someone who was working a booth, because I kept finding myself going back to the booth.
It's, I know, like, so did I. That's part of the reason why I wanted to get out of there that night.
Habitually, I just kept going back to the booth, and I'm like, no, I need to be here and talk to people. And it's funny how these kind of serendipitous things happen, because I met several people who are in our industry who actually live, you know, here, live and work here where I live. And I had no idea they were here.
Right, like in LA.
We had to go to a convention, a conference, in order to meet each other. It's just, it's weird how that kind of stuff works out.
I know. Whenever you mentioned that you kind of ended up by our booth the entire time while we were, that was part of the reason why I was like, okay, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't, you know, I just wanted to talk to other people, and I felt like it just ended up still being like, I don't want to talk to someone about RSS feeds right now. So.
Yeah. And I did wander around a bit. I will say this, that particular happy hour social thing that was happening in right by our booth and everybody else's booth, I did actually meet and get to talk to Leo Laporte for a few minutes. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yep. See, that was the guy that was kind of in that mental list that you had.
Well, yeah, he was in the bonus list.
Yes.
You know, my real list was way different. Other people, I didn't even think that Leo was going to be there. I don't know what the circumstances were that got him there that day, and it's not even that important.
No,
but
idea why.
I it was a surprise, and I didn't think I'd even get a chance to talk to him, and I really pushed myself to like not go and stand behind the booth. I intentionally went behind the booth.
Yeah.
And I met some people there and actually had a couple of good conversations. But again, I'm a big fan of, you know, in life in general, but in podcasting, and now as I've experienced also in podcasting conferences, that it's okay to take mental health breaks. We'll all be there.
Yes.
When you come back and do those, you know, how often you need to, whenever you need to, under whatever circumstances. And I'm sure at some point all of us did those in our own way. I mean, I don't know that Todd did, but Todd has an unnatural amount of energy for this stuff.
He does.
And that's something that surprised me. I mean, I've known the stories of how many hours he puts in. And of course, he's in Hawaii. So in order to do business in the mainland, he's got to be up super early. And I'm one of these West Coast, I'm one of these guys that left the Midwest and went to Illinois, and rather left the Midwest and moved to California. And I'm like, yeah, I could get up at 6, but I could get up at 9 instead.
I could, you know, live on California time. I could do
it's
that.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's fine. You know, I was amazed at how much energy he has, and he can just keep going. And there's no way that, you know, stride for stride, I think I could keep up with him. He's a powerhouse for sure.
He is. I don't know how he does it sometimes. Except I did see him, you know, when there was one night all of us kind of just went up to our hotel rooms because we were done, but we had left some conversation and I think left the bar and whatnot and got into a conversation with someone else and they were like, hey, so, well, if we're going to talk about this, can we go sit over there? And Todd was like, no, I'm just going to talk to you in the morning about it.
Okay, like it
was,
that's good.
It was someone that, you know, like we already know, so yeah. It wasn't a big deal in that sense. It was just, no, we're good. We've got to go to bed at some point.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, that's good. You know, you need, I mean, everybody needs to do that. They just need to do it in their own way. And obviously when we talk about, rhythms and metabolisms and all that, everybody's different. You can't expect everybody to kind of, you know, do things at the same pace. And I think that is, you know, an important tip for anybody that considers going to these things in the future. Like once it starts to roll and it kind of gets into your bloodstream, you're like, this is the best thing ever. I'm never going to leave.
Yep.
You really should try to sleep. And if possible, this is actually the hardest thing to do, or was the hardest thing for me to do at Podcast Movement. Maybe not for everybody, but for me, I couldn't find a vegetable to eat anywhere. I was like, could I eat something that's not, you know, that's not a carb
or fat,
like, could I just have something green somewhere? And it's really hard to find.
I remember the four of us definitely one day we were like, I just want to go and get a salad.
Yes. Yes.
All of us had skipped lunch and we kind of realized, you know, oh, it's 6 o'clock. Oh, that's why I'm starting to get crabby. That's why I'm starting to get tired. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. That's funny that you mentioned the food though, because at one point I was talking to Daniel Lewis and I said, I think it's time for me to head upstairs and go to bed. And we were talking about that in general. And he said, you know, these events feed me. I love this. This is where I get so much inspiration and whatnot. So right on track with the words.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, so that was Podcast Movement 2017. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being in California. I enjoyed meeting new people and seeing people that I hadn't seen in a very long time. And finally meeting you. And actually, you know, actually meeting you in person, that's a very good part.
Yeah, me too. I really did, you know, once I got over my own kind of issues that I came with, I really had a great time. I enjoyed every minute of it. And it was so great to be able to just be in that space where all this podcasting stuff was happening. But but most importantly, to be able to spend time with you, Mackenzie, and Todd and Mike. You know, it's really weird because for me, and I don't know, my place sounds like such a horrible term, but my position in the company and kind of where I'm located physically versus everybody else and the fact that I'm still kind of newish here and all that kind of stuff, you know, I've always felt a part of the team and what I do, and I take a lot of pride in it, and I'm always conscious of, you know, disclosing if I'm on like a podcast forum or something, I'm always conscious of, you know, letting people know like, yeah, I work with the Blueberry support team, all that kind of stuff. But it really does change when you actually get to spend time with people in the same environment. It does kind of change that, you know, that emotional bond or dynamic or whatever you want to call it. And I definitely came away much better from the whole thing. Good. For me.
Good. That's what we want. All right, people. I think that's it. If I met you at Podcast Movement, once again, nice to meet you. And if I didn't, then let's make sure that we make that happen in 2018.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And if I met you at Podcast Movement, and we haven't, you know, connected post conference, or you need help with anything support wise, whether or not you went to Podcast Movement, you can always email me, Sean@blueberry.com, and I'm here to help.
Yes. All the time. Actually, you bring up a very good point. If I have not reached out to you yet, or if I have not gotten back to your email that you sent yesterday or something like that, saying that we met and you wanted to discuss something, I apologize. I am getting to it as soon as possible. All in due time. And that is how, you know, I'm going to do my best to get back to all of you by, you know, the next couple days.
It will happen.
Yes, it will happen. All right, everyone. Thanks once again for listening to the Power Press Podcast. This has been episode 52 with myself, the host of the Power Press Podcast, and Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.